My name is Dia Moody. I'm the pastor of a church called Spirit of Life Reformed Baptist Church in an area called Lockleys in Bristol, United Kingdom. So the matter we settled out of court was an offer that was made from Avon and Somerset Constabulary to admit that their action against me was disproportionate. What I mean by that is that 2 years ago they issued me what the first stage of legal action, which is called a warning notice. And in the warning notice, it was a number of points were listed, I think about 10 points. And a number of them had to do with amplification and other things. But the important things to for us that was worrying was they wanted me to get their permission if I had to speak. I couldn't speak for over an hour in Bristol in the public. I had to speak with their permission. And I couldn't speak to, I was not allowed to speak to an evolutionist or an atheist. I wasn't allowed to compare Christianity to any other religion in Bristol. And so we took them to court. I didn't sign that. I didn't accept that. And the warning notice was effective only for 6 months. In other words, it had expired anyway. But I didn't want to let it go because I felt it was a breach of freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of religious expression. And I found myself not just fighting for the case of a Christian's freedom here, but for everybody's freedom. I do believe if an atheist wants to challenge a Christian, he must do so publicly and we must hear his views. Same with a Muslim or an agnostic or a humanist or a secularist. Whether you are with God or without God, you must be able to exercise your view freely. And I welcome that. And so I would also like them, I also wanted them to welcome the fact also that we Christians can speak freely. But the police didn't think so. So they went and put this, they went to their legal department and decided to put this document together, which was an illegal document, which I refused to sign. And I took them to court. And 1 week before we could go to court in November 2023, they came back to me with a settlement offer, which is... they did not apologize, which would have been good. They used the word disproportionate, which I settled for. Their action against me in the warning notice saying that I could not speak to an evolutionist or an atheist and things like that, they admitted on their part was disproportionate. I decided to settle that with them, to accept that. And so we settled out of court. They are now stuck with the legal bill for the whole case, which I do think that every taxpayer should know about because we warned the police not to go down this route, yet they still went down the route. We told them they were wrong and that they insisted they were right. And now it's costing the taxpayer close to £70,000 to £80,000, which Avon and Somerset will pay for all the legal fees, mine and theirs. But listen, they're not paying it from their pocket. They're taking it from the taxpayer's purse. And so
there also a matter there of discussing other religions too?
Yes, indeed. One of the warning notices was, one point on the warning notice was I'm not to compare Christianity with any other religion.
Why would you wish to do that?
Well, we do what's called comparative religious studies. The preaching of the gospel involves identifying what we would say that which is false and that which is true. And so all through the Bible, you find God inspiring his people to, for example, make the distinction between an idol and the true and living God. So he says, for example, idols have eyes but cannot see, ears but cannot hear, mouth but cannot speak. And then God compares himself to the idol and say, but I have eyes that I can see and I've got ears and I can hear. So there's this comparison between that which is fake and that which is real. And the Bible tells us there's exclusively one way to God. It is through the Christian God of the Bible, the Judeo-Christian God, which is Jehovah, Yahweh. And Jesus comes to say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So that means that when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he's making an exclusive statement that he's the only way, the only truth, and the only life. The grammatical construct of that scripture uses what we call the definite article. And he says, I am the only way, the only truth, and the only life, meaning that all other gods are non-existent, that they're not the way. And so we will be challenged by Muslims who are saying that, how can we say that? Atheists who do not even believe in God would say to us, well, how can you say that Jesus is the only way? And therefore, this idea of we cannot compare our religion to any other religion in the public square came about.
Yeah, it's fascinating because actually, surely every faith, including atheism, if you can call it a faith, or faith in science, all these individual ideas, they believe that they are the best way, but they surely don't have the right or ability in law to say that anybody that says a different thing is breaking the law.
Tony, this is what we're dealing with at the moment. I mean, I'm, you know, I found myself against a massive, massive war machine. It was the constabulary, it was certain religious groups, it was certain lobbying groups that had come together, the Church of England itself throwing its hat into the ring and joining with the constabulary to create a 19-page dossier against me and my church, saying how wrong we are to have our particular version of the Bible and preach what we are preaching.
Hang on. You mean the Anglican Church actually weighing in on the side of saying you're not allowed to say that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life? That yes. Sounds bizarre.
Yes, they went to the Church of England, and the Church of England put a 3-page document into this 19-page. Now, the name of the person for the Church of England has been redacted, but the following line after the full stop says "she said." So it's a female who's written this, either a female Anglican minister or the Bishop of Bristol, who we know is female, has written this and said that Dear Moodley and his congregation have a gross misunderstanding of the Bible, and that the sin, hell, and judgment they preach about is really non-existent, and went on to talk about how they go about things.
Okay, so, all right. So, look, can you just explain, you normally preach on a Saturday in the street down in Broadmead. That's quite often. I'm sure you don't do it every single week, but that's the norm with you. And this is a tradition that actually was begun by people like John Wesley many years. In fact, Wesley's chapel is actually down there in Broadmead, isn't it?
Yeah, Wesley and Whitfield. So we have two major people of historical reference for Bristol and Gloucester. So Wesley being obviously one of them. And you're right, the Wesley Chapel, which I have stood outside personally for many years now, preaching. And George Whitfield himself from Gloucester coming to Bristol many times. Whitfield and Wesley were very close friends, though they differed theologically on some things. But they were joining together and preaching on the streets. So these very cobblestone streets now we've taken to. We're not standing on a wooden crate that they would have stood on, but nevertheless a ladder that we stand on to gain some sort of ability to be able to speak over the crowd so people can hear us. And so we've been doing that for the last 7 years.
What are the main issues that you preach about? I know abortion is one of them, but, you know, the things that actually get people going. I mean, this is exactly what Christ was doing 2,000 years ago. He was finding things which people didn't like to hear.
You know, I'm raising up a team of men in my church, and when we go about preaching, they often ask me, why do we have to speak on these things? And I said to them, listen, if we were living in the times of slavery, in Bristol, in the sense of the ships arriving in our city. And if we were living in those times and we were Christians and we saw the slaves walked off the ship and we looked at that, and we would have said something about it, because from a biblical Christian worldview, you recognize that all mankind is created in the image of God. And therefore, you'd look at that like you know, John Newton did, who wrote Amazing Grace. He was a son of a slave trader. And he saw that trading in human life was a sin. And therefore, he repented and became a Christian. So we were spoken against it in that time. So in a similar way, as Christians, we see the things now, abortion being one of them. Over 800 babies a day, actually 850 is the latest figure, 850 babies a day in the United Kingdom, which I would say, we would say, murdered in the name of my body, my choice. And so what do we do about that? Abortion is, in our worldview, in our language, we say that abortion has killed more human lives than all the wars put together. So from October 1967 to this day, where abortion has been legalized in the country, more human lives have been taken through abortion than all the wars. And I get asked all the time, it's a legally right, it's a law that says that abortions are allowed. And I often say, yes, at one time slavery was lawful in the United Kingdom. But if it's lawful, it doesn't make it morally right. And that's where the abolitionists came in. They said, you know, it's not morally right to do this, although it's lawful. So let's change the law. So we're standing against the tide now and saying, although it's lawfully right, is it morally right? So we're asking the question and making a truth statement from the Bible that says, thou shalt not kill.
Has this affected your ability to do your job in Lochlea's, in your church?
Not in my church at the moment, no. I've got no restriction on my church. I've got no restriction in public preaching in Bristol, except one of my bail conditions is that I am not to be seen on Queen's Road and not to be seen outside of any university building between now and the 8th of May. So my legal counsel said that is a reasonable request, and I've accepted that. I haven't signed anything else. I will not sign anything else. I will not sign anything that restricts my freedom in Bristol to preach, except for this case. That's just one road in Bristol, which I can stay away from definitely.
Well, yeah, maybe you could just go pop around the corner if you needed to. Now, could you just tell us a bit about the faith or ethnicity of the students that were when you were arrested?
Tony, they were mainly white students, white girls mainly between the age of 18 and probably 22. There were younger white men there, but they were too afraid to come forward. When we stopped recording, I've got body-worn cameras. So when we stopped recording, a lot of these men came forward then. And I said, why are you so scared to speak? And you could recognize that they're afraid to speak. They're afraid to say something. And a lot of men came forward and said, thank you. We didn't know those things that you just told us. You know, and we had good conversations about things that they didn't understand. Why I was preaching, what I was preaching, how I came to those conclusions, why men themselves should be able to have a voice on the issue of abortion. Because we've been told by the feminist movement that men don't have a choice in this, that they shouldn't speak about this, that this is solely a woman's choice.
Yeah, it sounds to me, as if this has got a lot to do with the university. Do you think they played a role?
Well, the university, the police acted on the authority of the university. They're big players in our city. At the end of the day, they're big players. The police didn't ask me anything. They didn't ask me to confirm anything. They didn't say what happened. They didn't ask about the assault on me. Nothing. They just came up to me and said, there's a complaint against you. We have people said that you assaulted somebody. Right now, we are arresting you. Put me in handcuffs. Put me into a police car. And the crowd roared. The crowd roared, and they said, "Happy Ramadan. Enjoy your Eid in a prison cell." That came from one person in the crowd, but the rest of them were obviously applauding that with them.
Isn't there an aspect of this where the police just simply see this as a problem that they want to go away? There is an element of freedom of speech and freedom of conscience protected by international law. But what's happening is you're causing an issue for the police. They may be happy to sort of stand by and watch, but they don't want to be spending resources having to police your preaching.
Yes, indeed, and that's one of the reasons why if they're properly properly trained, they don't have to spend the resources because it's freedom of speech. As long as you don't incite violence against anyone, in Articles 9, 10, and 11 of the European Court of Human Rights says that. So one of the reasons why when we were in Broadmead that no officer would attend, in a sense, when people called to complain, the officers would pitch up and say, okay, we're here. But they would turn away because they would say to the people, listen, if you don't like it, walk away. He has every right to say that. He's within the law. And therefore, we've not been arrested. I mean, obviously, you heard me say at the outset of our discussion that they tried to restrict it. And that's because with the number of people complaining, the police want to take the cost of least resistance. So rather than dealing with the riotous mob, they come to the Christian, who is one person, who under the teachings of Jesus would turn the other cheek. And so they recognize that the Christian's not going to fight back in the public square. He's not going to resist arrest. So it's an easy job for the officer to arrest the Christian and take the path of least resistance.
Actually, yeah, I mean, we hear a lot about anti-Semitism. We hear a lot about Islamophobia. What do you think's going on here? Because this sounds like a move against the Christian faith, which the country is supposed to uphold.
Indeed, I mean, we want to be able to say. I mean, I hear the most, and this is in the presence of officers. I have heard the most horrific things, ways that the God of the Bible has been described. I have heard people talk about Jesus Christ in the most blasphemous ways in the public square, in the presence of police officers, and they will do nothing, absolutely nothing about it. But say one thing about Islam or the Quran, or when I take the Quran out and I start reading, suddenly the police want to pay attention. Suddenly the crowd is stirred to take action against the preacher man. And the police would act on that. And we've challenged them a number of times on that. And in my last discussion with one of the chief inspectors in Avon and Somerset Constabulary, she made the promise that her officers would not be biased in their approach to the preaching on the streets. She said that if any of her officers, if she hears that they've been biased, she will take it up with them. That it's not acceptable that they're biased in their approach when they approach me or any other street preacher. I have had good interactions with officers, but you know, it's these officers that have come are clearly untrained for the situation. And we're currently working with another major group in the UK, where we're putting together, this was after my case in November, we're putting together a teaching package for the police college. I've not just won a case. I'm actually working towards trying to help the police here by putting together a teaching package that shows them how to confront, you know, street preachers, how to deal with people who make these complaints, because the police don't have to take time taking these complaints down, you know, because, you know, if it is a genuine, legitimate complaint in the sense that, you know, we incited violence, we're causing for the death of somebody or whatever, then for sure. But if it's merely the expression of the freedom of speech, the police should not get involved in it. They should just say to people, listen, walk away. If you don't like it, walk away.
Yeah. Well, finally, you've been interviewed on this topic by Fox News in the United States, big international news channel, GB News here in Britain, which is based in London. Yes, I've seen an article about this, I think, is tail end of 2023 about you and this dispute with the Avon and Somerset police in the Daily Mail. And yet, recently, even though things have kind of stepped up, certainly for you being arrested, no coverage whatsoever really in the regional or the local press here in Bristol. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, indeed. It's sad that it's been covered in the US and people in the US have sent their supporters, as have people in this United Kingdom outside of Bristol. I'm not sure what that is. I think it's a biased approach. When Bristol Post covered me previously, not out of my request, but people have written to them and made reference to my preaching, they have indeed wrote in a very disparaging way, not factual. And many times I thought about taking them to court on this, but I was already involved in a legal case with the constabulary, so I didn't want to get myself involved in another case. But I could see a clear bias in their kind of a reporting of what had happened when we were preaching or who said what. I was not interviewed at all by any of the media outlets in Bristol who reported on my preaching. I mean, a thoughtful reporter would say, you know, tell me what happened, you know, but none of them had actually interviewed me. And yet they wrote many articles about me.
I'm saying a professional reporter, of course, they would come to you for comment, maybe for a statement, for a quote.
Mm. Yeah, indeed. I mean, I would love that. I'd love the opportunity to be able to talk about that. Because, listen, at the end of the day, I do want the Bristol public to know that, you know, this is the waste of public money. It's a waste of taxpayers' money. And that we as Christians are actually standing up for freedom of speech. You know, we're, you know, even if you disagree with the Christian, we want you to disagree. We want you to have the right to disagree and to let your voice be heard. And I think this is a benefit.
It sounds to me like Avon and Somerset police just want you to go away, to not exist. And in fact, the local press too just wish you weren't there.
Yeah, I mean, if it's something like that makes headlines. I mean, local preacher being told that the constabulary acted disproportionately towards him is not good headlines for a biased newspaper that's leaning towards one side. They want the other. I guess they would be more interested in me being arrested now than me winning the case. But still, on the arrest, I've not heard from them.
Yeah, well, it's shocking, really, that we hear so much about Islamophobia, we hear so much about anti-Semitism, but nothing about this anti-Christian, anti-Christ sort of spirit that there seems to be hanging around. Mm. How do people find your church and follow you on social media, that sort of thing, dear?
Yeah, we're on. We're in Lockleys. We're situated in Lockleys. The building itself is in Lockleys. The church is wider in the sense that, you know, obviously the church are the people. They come from as far as Bridgewater, Taunton, Gloucester every week to church. But they come to a building that we have in Lockleys. It's a chapel, and it's on Romney Avenue in Lockleys, BS79ST. You can find me on Facebook under DM Woodley. Most of my posts are very general and open to the public. You can also get us at spiritoflife.org.uk. That's spiritoflife.org.uk. I would be keen to hear from you.